Hello everyone, it's great to see you all. For the benefit of people I've not yet met, my name's Phil, I'm the Senior Minister here. Kids Holiday Club is such a highlight of our church's calendar, and in fact, it's actually famous around this area. I have random people who I don't know come up to me in the street and thank me for Kids Holiday Club. What they don't realise is I do next to nothing for Kids Holiday Club, I just take the thanks on behalf of all the other people who serve. I had someone come up to me recently who told me, they said, oh, you're the minister of that church. I said, oh, how do you know that? And they said, I used to come to Kids Holiday Club. This was a guy in his 20s now. So there you go. Isn't that amazing? So much to be thankful for. But the most wonderful thing is seeing all these kids having such a great time, all these kids learning about Jesus. That's why we do it. And so they've been looking at Luke's Gospel this week, stories from that biography of Jesus that we call Luke. This week on Sunday, to sort of end Kids Holiday Club, they're looking at one last story, and it's the story we just read. So I thought, well, that decides what I'm going to share with us all here, the adults. Today, we're going to look at what the kids are looking at in Kids Church, this wonderful story of Zacchaeus. Now, in one sense, this is just a great story for Kids Church. It's a great one to act out, if you think about it. It's sort of like a funny little story about a guy who's vertically challenged, shall we say. But actually, I want you to see this is a wonderful story because it gives us an insight into who Jesus really is and why, how he understands why he came. Because I think lots of people have their ideas. They think, oh, Jesus is this. Oh, the Jesus I know is this. And that's nice, but I want to know what Jesus thinks about himself. And this is a great story for understanding what Jesus thinks about himself. So let's look at it together. It's printed there on your outline. Please follow along. Now, I must admit, I struggle to understand Zacchaeus' world. I struggle to understand, Palestine 2,000 years ago, Judea 2,000 years ago. But I struggle to understand his situation as a short man. A little while ago, Victoria and I went to the theatre. And I don't know about other people, but as I've gotten older, a play has to be very, very good, or about 15 minutes in, I get a nudge from Victoria to deal with my deep breathing, as it gets called. But anyway, to my surprise, I was really enjoying the show. I must have been sitting up in my chair, because at the interval, the guy behind me tapped me on the shoulder, and I thought, oh, do I know you? Oh, isn't this a coincidence? And I didn't know him, and he said to me, I'm sorry, he said, can I just ask, you're very tall and you're very wide. I didn't take it personally, but he said, you're very tall and wide. And he said, I haven't seen anything for the whole first half of the show. Now, I thought, well, you know you're short. Why didn't you bring a cushion? You know, that sort of idea. But I was nicer than that. And so for the rest of the show, I actually was really uncomfortable the rest of the show. I felt really, I was sort of sitting like this. And Victoria thought I was sort of leaning in on her sort of thing. But because I just felt terrible for this poor guy behind me. And the funny thing was, I then looked around after sitting like that for about 25 minutes, and he wasn't there anymore. He'd got another seat. But anyway, he'd taken matters into his own hands. But needless to say, I have been this tall since I was about 15 years old, and so I could not understand that problem. But if you are vertically challenged, then this is your story in the Bible, and I apologise on behalf of all tall people. But you can empathise with Zacchaeus. One of the things I love about Luke's Gospel, and in fact all the Gospels, is how they talk about real people. And what they capture for us are encounters with real people. That's why it names Zacchaeus. Because when these stories were first told, when the Gospels even were first written down, you could go to Jericho. You know, this is a real person. The Gospels are not made-up stories. They're stories about real people. You could have gone and interrogated them and said, is this true? And I love that. I love the history of the Gospels, that these are real stories about people's real interactions with Jesus. So let's look at the story, Luke 19. Here is Jesus. He's entering the town of Jericho. He's not meaning to stop. He's on his way through, on his way to Jerusalem. But by this time, Jesus couldn't just sort of quietly move around. There was a buzz around Jesus, not least because of all his miracles. People had heard that this is a miracle worker. People had heard about his teaching, how it wasn't like other teaching they'd heard. It wasn't like the teaching they'd heard from their old religious leaders. It came with authority. But they'd also heard how he upset people. And he'd particularly upset all the religious leaders. They were jealous of Jesus, but they also hated what he was teaching at points, as we're going to see a little bit later on. So people were abuzz, and you couldn't just get there to see Jesus. There were crowds that were following him around. I obviously wasn't alive at the time, but I've seen pictures of when the Queen came to Australia in the 1950s, you know, before the internet and even TV and that sort of thing. And there's pictures of people 20 deep lining George Street just trying to get a glimpse of the Queen as she goes past. I'm not saying it was quite as much as that, but it was a bit like that with Jesus. And so here is Jesus coming into town, and then the camera sort of moves for us onto this man, Zacchaeus. And we're told two things about him straight away in verse 2. The first is he was the chief tax collector, and the second is he was very, very rich. Now, no one likes tax collectors, even today. I'm sorry if that's your job, but no one, everyone resents in some way paying tax. But for the Jewish people of that time, tax collectors were evil because they collected money on behalf of the Roman oppressors. So the money you were paying wasn't going to pay for, you know, things that you sort of think, oh, actually, I can see why they're good for society. They were paying for the soldiers who were oppressing you. More than that, the tax collectors, the way they made their money was they just took extra money off the top for themselves. So here was the amount you had to pay for Caesar, but now here's the amount for Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus had become very, very wealthy. That's why this man was so hated by all the people in Jericho. I think that might just be another reason why he couldn't get through the crowd. They might have let another person who couldn't see through, but they're not going to let this guy through to see Jesus. So look with me at verse 3. And it says, he was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. I think you're meant to see the humour here. You're meant to see him sort of jumping around like a cartoon character trying to get a glimpse, and perhaps people moving to stop him getting a glimpse as well. But he won't be deterred. He works out the route that Jesus is taking and he gets a view. Look at verse 4. It says, so running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus since he was about to pass that way. A few years ago, I got to go to Jericho. It's about 40 kilometres out of Jerusalem. It's on the West Bank, so probably don't go there at the moment, sadly. But you can go there, and your guide, one of the places they'll take you is they'll take you to Zacchaeus's sycamore tree. Now, no one really thinks it's the same sycamore tree 2,000 years later, but it's a sycamore tree, and it's in Jericho, and it gives them the opportunity to sell you lots of rubbish, basically, that says, I've been to Zacchaeus's sycamore tree. Sadly, there's a fence around it, because every part of me wanted to climb that tree. But sadly, anyway. So he climbs the sycamore, ready to see the person he's heard so much about, and he gets the shock of his life. Look at verse 5. It says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. Now, we don't know how Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. We're not told in the story. It might have been he asked, who's the guy in the tree? You know, and so I think this is one of those many small miracles of Jesus, because there's many times where Jesus knows who someone is when he's not met them before, where he knows the secrets of their heart and the secrets of what they're thinking without them even perhaps understanding it themselves. But however he knows, the point is Jesus picks out Zacchaeus and says, you're the person I'm going to stay with tonight. You're the person I'm going to eat with tonight. And Zacchaeus understands how amazing that is. He welcomes Jesus gladly, and that gladness is because Zacchaeus realizes, I don't deserve this. Who am I that the wise teacher singles me out? Zacchaeus knows, I'm a sinner. I'm the least impressive person here. I'm not worthy of this honour. So he's just overjoyed. But the issue is, and this is why this story is so important, is that everyone else there knows that Zacchaeus is not worthy as well. And they just cannot believe that Jesus picked Zacchaeus of all people out to give this great honour to. So look at verse 7. It says, all who saw it began to complain. He's gone to stay with a sinful man. Jesus, they said, why would you pick this guy? Why would you pick this sinner? There are lots of respectable people in this town. Come to our house. There are lots of religious people in this town who know God's word much better than Zacchaeus and certainly live out God's law better than Zacchaeus does. You know, why don't you pick one of us for this great honour? That line, verse 7, look at it again. That line and the thinking behind it is so sad, and sadly, I think, it is the greatest misunderstanding of Christianity. People think that Christianity is about people who think they can be good enough for God, who then stand in judgment over other people. But that is the view of people who have not truly met Jesus. That's the view of people who don't understand Jesus and don't understand why he came. So many people think that the essence of Christianity is about trying to impress God, and that God should then be pleased with us because we're better than other people, or we're better than that person over there. That, in many ways, that is every other religion. But it is not Christianity, and is not the gospel that Jesus taught, is not the message he taught. Jesus says, no. Actually, we are all sinners. We're all like Zacchaeus. We all fail to live God's way. We all fail to honour God as we should. We all need, Jesus says, God's forgiveness. Some people don't think they're sinners, like the crowd in the story. Some people are more respectable sinners and just like to say, well, I'm not as bad as that guy over there. Some people are brazen, like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. But we all have the same problem, Jesus says. When another man asked Jesus, what is God's law in a nutshell? What is God's standard that he seeks from people? This is what Jesus said. He said, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. There's God's standard for humanity. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. That's all God asks. But then think about that for a moment. Who can honestly say they love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and all their strength? And even more, who can truly say they love their neighbour as themselves? It's so simple, but we're all too selfish to do it. And so Jesus says, we all have this problem. Jesus says, don't compare yourself to other people. You'll always find people who make you feel better about yourself. Now compare yourself to Jesus, the one man who did love God with all his heart, soul, mind and strength, the one man who did love his neighbour as himself. When we do that, we see we're just like Zacchaeus. Some people are more obvious, but we're all sinners. We all need God's forgiveness. We all need God's grace and salvation that only Jesus can offer. But back to our story, because both Zacchaeus and Jesus heard what all the people were whispering. It wasn't like they were doing it behind their hands. This was open. Jesus knew what they were saying. Zacchaeus knew what they were saying. And so it's their two responses that really give us the essence of the point of this story. So first, Zacchaeus, he teaches us about the impact that meeting Jesus has on someone. Look with me from verse 8. It says, but Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Some people think Zacchaeus is sort of saying, I'm not actually a sinner. Look at me. I'm actually really generous. I'm actually doing the right thing. Like he's trying to justify himself. I think that's silly and misses the point. The point is, he's saying, now that I've met Jesus, I want to change. Meeting Jesus has changed me. Yes, I'm a sinner. I've done awful things. I've extorted things from people. But now that I've met Jesus, I don't just want to repay what I stole. I want to give so much more. Under the Old Testament law, if you stole something from someone, under the law they lived under, if you stole something from someone, you had to pay it back plus 20%. That was what was expected of you. Except if you stole someone's cow or sheep. Then you had to give them four cows or four sheep back. Now, why was that? It's because in that world, you were stealing their livelihood. You were stealing their means of living, and so there was a harsher penalty. Well, Zacchaeus says, that'll do me. Whatever the maximum is, I'll pay the maximum. I'll pay 400%. I'll pay back four times what I stole. Now, it's so important to understand this. He's not doing this to impress Jesus. Jesus has already welcomed him. Jesus has already said, I'm with you, Zacchaeus. He's not doing this to earn something from Jesus. This is his response to the welcome of Jesus. Jesus offers anyone who comes to him forgiveness. It's like we sang about in Romans chapter 5 with the kids before, where he took upon himself the punishment we deserve. The one man who never sinned took the punishment for all of us who have sinned. Someone once called it the great exchange, as he stepped in our place. Jesus offers anyone who comes to him forgiveness, whether they are respectable or whether they are a very clear sinner like Zacchaeus. He welcomes us as we are with all our faults and failures. But he does not leave us like that. Zacchaeus is a wonderful example to us of what meeting Jesus does for a person. A person who comes to know Jesus says, well, now I want to live that way. Now I want to live to please Jesus. We don't suddenly become perfect. We struggle with sin for our whole lives until Jesus returns. But the Christian, the person who says, I trust in Jesus, changes. We become a follower of Jesus, and that means we look at every area of our life and say, what would Jesus have me do now? This is the beginning of that for Zacchaeus. But now, lastly, and most importantly, let's look at Jesus' response. It's there at verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. You see, the good Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes, they thought they alone were God's people. That's what it means to be a son of Abraham, a child of Abraham, is to be a part of God's people, one of God's children. They thought, that's just for us. They thought a sinner like Zacchaeus, he's not one of us. God doesn't accept people like him. Jesus is saying, no, the promises of God have come to this man too today. The promise to be one of God's children has come to this man today. And in fact, salvation has come to this house, the house of a sinner. And Jesus doesn't say it, but I think they would have heard the unspoken next part of the sentence, which is, today salvation has come to this house, but do you notice it hasn't come to your self-righteous houses like it has to the house of Zacchaeus? You see, what these self-righteous people needed to understand was that they needed the salvation that Jesus offers just as much as this man they were judging did. They needed God's forgiveness just as much as Zacchaeus did. And that's Jesus' final point there in verse 10. Look with me at verse 10. He says, for the Son of Man, that's the title Jesus gave himself, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That verse is so important. Look at it again. The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Because right there, Jesus is telling us, this is why I came. Jesus did not come as a moral teacher, first and foremost. He didn't come to tell us to pull our moral socks up, first and foremost. Jesus came to seek and save people who are lost. He came to seek and save people who do not know God. He came to seek and save people who need God's forgiveness. Why were they surprised that he wanted to eat with Zacchaeus, Jesus is saying? He's saying, this is exactly who I have come to save. But of course, what they all needed to realize was that even if their sin was not as obvious as Zacchaeus's, they were just as lost as he was. They were just as in need of God's salvation and forgiveness as this tax collector was. And this is the truth of this passage. Apart from Jesus, we are all lost. Whether we realize it or not, we are lost until we come to Jesus. The question is, are we humble enough to realize it? Are we humble enough to recognize it like Zacchaeus did? Because if we are, Jesus loves to welcome us too, and he loves to offer us the forgiveness and salvation that he brought to that house that day. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful little story. We thank you that this week, all the kids got to hear these wonderful stories of Jesus from Luke's Gospel. But we pray that today they'll have heard this wonderful story of Jesus welcoming a man like Zacchaeus. But Father, we pray that we would see this is not just a story for the children, but this is a story for all of us. And we pray that we would be humble enough to realize that we need the forgiveness that Jesus offers, just like this man did. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.